Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David, minister of 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatonian Congregation. Now I'm at the 12th Hour in the organization. Today is June the 25th, 2025. It is the new moon of the fourth month. We're going to continue with our two-time degrees. This time it's going to be number 24, and it's going to be our fourth study labeled for it with this date of the new moon. And the name of the title of this sermon is The People That Hardly Stand a Chance, January 24th, 1948, by the V.T. Holler. So it says the text of our subject is found in the Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. At the outset of our study, let us ascertain under what extent this scripture has been fulfilled. In the days of the Moses, you remember, the Egyptians had no vision. But the Hebrews did have a vision and a prophet to interpret the vision. With this gift among them, when they came against the Red Sea, the Hebrews were preserved. But the Egyptians perished. For the wise man, you see, was not guessing when he said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Suppose, though, the people should have a vision but no interpreter for the vision. What then? Let us see. You recall that Nebuchadnezzar, king of, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylon, had a night vision. That's actually King Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, that's right. That's where it's pronounced. King of the Babylon had a night vision, but had no interpreter. No, not one among all of the 300 wise men in the kingdom. Consequently, as they were unable to interpret his vision, Daniel chapter 2, it was decreed that they should be put to death. And they would have perished if the Daniel, Yahweh's man, had not been in the land to interpret the king's vision. Pharaoh, too, had a vision, but no interpreter. And if Joseph had not been in the land of Egypt to interpret the king's vision, the Egyptians and the whole ancient world would have perished during the 7 years of the famine. What the Bible says is 100% true. For you see, now let me ask you a simple question. If the people without a vision and without an interpreter perish, how are they then to get the vision and the interpreter? For the Peter gives the clue. 2 Peter 1:19-20. We have also a more sure word of the prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Here we are told that the prophecy, a vision, is the antithesis by which to judge purported Bible truth. That is, if the thing is not in the prophecy, if there is no vision of it found in the writings of the prophet, then there is no truth in it. Thus, the visions of the prophets are to be our visions if we must be preserved. For the prophecy, though, he contends, is of no more private interpretation than were the Nebuchadnezzar's and Pharaoh's vision that the wise men of any people are not able to interpret the concealed prophecies of the Yahweh. Why? 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy come not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of the Yahweh spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is exactly why prophecy cannot be privately interpreted. Not without the Spirit who dictated the prophecy and the holy men of old. So then, the prophecies are not interpreted by the will of man, but by the Spirit of the truth. For the Spirit of the prophecy, the same Spirit that dictated the prophecy, this, you see, is not my idea. It is a plain language of the Bible. That perhaps there is still doubt in your mind. And if so, we would do well to give the Bible another test. Let us therefore again consider the kings of Babylon and of Egypt. Both kings gave unto their wise men the opportunity to interpret some of the things which we now find in the Bible. For the kings of those ancient lands gave their wise men not only the opportunity baited with the rich reward for the interpreting of the vision, but even threatened to slay them if they failed to do so. This was especially true in the Babylon, where the wise men failed and even openly and wisely admitted that to reveal the secret things of Yahweh was not their business. Are not these tests strong enough to convince any of you that the secret things of the Yahweh, such as the concealed prophecies, are not not disclosed by the finite man? No, not by the devil either. That when the Yahweh wants a thing to be a secret, it remains concealed until he himself reveals it. Then when it is revealed, all are to know that Yahweh himself is at work. Are not therefore the wise men of the day making fools of themselves by airing their private and interpretations of the unrevealed scriptures? It is, if it is hard enough for the average mind to admit that he is wrong, then pray tell me how easy will our wise men who think themselves to stand without a peer to admit their mistakes, for this is exactly what they must do to their audiences if they themselves are ever to accept his prophecies when unfolded by the Holy Spirit himself, and if they do not give up their private interpretation and take the interpretations of the Spirit, will they not sin against the Holy Spirit? For the wise men of the Chaldees in Egypt were not allowed to advance their private ideas as to what the king's vision might mean. So at last it was an easy matter for them to say, we do not know. But it was not at all easy for the priests, scribes, and Pharisees and the Yashiv to recant what they had taught the people. And neither will it be easy for the private interpreters of today. Even though they know that such an honest and trying confession could make them great heroes, today's private interpretations have harmed and confused the world more than at any other time. Look at the shattered sectarian world of today. It has split Christendom into the hundreds of sects, chips of all sizes, one disagreeing with the other. Who can say that their diverse private interpretations of the scriptures are inspired, dependable, or profitable for anything but to cause Christians to quarrel and bicker among themselves over theocracies and doctrines? Are these presumptuous interpreters of the scriptures bringing Christians to one accord, fitting them for a second Pentecost? Or are they dividing and unfitting them? Are they not making fools of themselves in the eyes of the non-Christian world? It is plain to see that they are not even as wise as the wise men of the Joseph day or of the Daniel's day. For it sounds hard, I know, but it would be worse to leave them sleeping without doing something to awaken them. No one can watch a blind man walking into an open bridge without doing something to prevent him from walking headlong into the river. If they do not open their eyes now, then who can say that they are not the people who hardly stand a chance? For the theoretical interpretations of the scriptures are brewing a discord within every denomination, and at the same time their adherents pray and talk of having received or of expecting to receive the gift of the Spirit, for they pray not to have the gift of the inspired interpretation, not to have their private interpretation corrected, or to know the truth more fully, but they pray to receive the gift of the working miracles. Yes, that is what they are all after? What presumption and what an insult to intelligence. Miracles for what purpose? For the other than to confuse an even greater multitude with their private interpretations. They may fool men, but I tell you, they can never fool the Yahweh, and they had better try it no longer. Now we suppose that we have a vision and also an interpreter, but do not have faith. Then what? If such be our case, then I believe that in such an unhappy state of the mind, we would be better off if we had neither vision nor interpreter, because if we had both a vision and an interpreter, but no faith, we would be held responsible for the rejecting both, and thus doubly sin against the Holy Spirit, then we would find ourselves in an even more unenviable position. Then were the Jews. There is no forgiveness for the sin against the Holy Spirit, against the inspiration. Because once rejected, there is nothing else by which a sinner can be brought to Yahshua. Consequently, there is no more hope for such a one, for there is nothing more that heaven can do to awaken him to his poverty, and hence no more remedy, no forgiveness of sin. But one may say, I do have the faith and the Bible and the word of the Yahweh. For we may have even more faith in the Bible than had the Jews, but if such and one decided faith was a detriment to the Jews, then what would it be unto others? The Jews were not condemned for the lack of faith in the Bible, but for having no faith in the messengers of the Yahweh, no faith in the prophets and their interpretations of the scriptures. Moreover, faith in the Bible, the prophecy, faith in the interpretations who dictated the Bible is as good as to admit that the bread is indeed the staff of life, but to refuse to take a bite of it. Let us see what the Bible itself has to say concerning such unfortunates. This is Second Chronicles 36:14-17. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Yahweh, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Yahweh of their fathers sent unto them by his messengers, rising up betimes, and sinning because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place, that they mocked the messengers of the Yahweh and despised his word, and misuse his prophet until the wrath of the Yahweh arose against his people till there was no remedy. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew the young man with the sword. In the house of this and a sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young man or the maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. For the transgressors herein mentioned were not left to the slaughter, were not simply because they were great sinners, for the Yahweh had compassion on them while sinning, and sent messengers to correct and to enlighten them. But after they rejected his messages and slew his spirit-filled messengers, they sinned against the Holy Spirit, and there was nothing more that he could do but to let their enemies destroy them. Let us consider another example, this one in the Yahshua's time. For the Jews in his time had even greater faith in the scriptures than any before them with the scriptures. They choose, tried, and crucified the Yahshua for the thing in which they had no faith was in the Yahshua interpretation of the scriptures. As a result, some years later, their city was destroyed, and everyone that was found in it burned as rats, only because they failed to heed the Yahshua's instructions. Luke 21:20-22. And when you shall see the Jerusalem compass with the armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For there be the days, for these be the days of the vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Without vision, you see the people perish, and also without an interpreter, and without the faith and the blood of the Yahshua of the everlasting covenant of Hebrews 10:19-20, and that is faith in the blood of Yahshua, they likewise perish. And this is why the spirit of the prophecy is an absolute necessity for the people of Yahweh in all generations. For the Laodiceanism today, you know, is in a worse situation than any person at any other time, for by the protesting that there is no need of the prophets, no need of the more truth, they have already rejected them, yes, actually killed of them, if they expect no more truth, and if the Yahshua himself should come with more truth, would they not crucify him also? I know that I am not making a rash statement, not exaggerating either, and I also know that the Bible will sustain me in what I am saying, else I would not say it. We have now already seen that the Scriptures are not of any private interpretation, and that the Christendom as a whole has no inspired, divinely appointed interpreter, does not even claim to have one, and that the people are as confused as were the foolish Babel tower building when their language was replaced with the diversified languages. Now then, if it is true that makes anyone free, and if it comes only through the inspiration, and if Christendom fails to recognize this and thus give Yahweh no chance to save it, then what is to be its fate, and also the fate of the church itself? You know the answer. For the root of this blundering, though, springs from the heart of the church that professes to be the light of the world, for she feels that rich and increased with the goods and in the need of neither truth nor prophet, and in spite of the fact that the Yeshua himself tells her that she is wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, about to be spewed out, and in the need of everything, Revelation 3:14-18. For the overlooking of this charge, and still to say we have need of nothing, is to insult the Yeshua and to charge Yahweh with the having forsaken the earth, the church, and the people, and leaving them all to do the best they can in their confusion and carnal security, expecting to lift themselves out of their deception by the straps of their boots. There is but one thing that her people have been taught to look for, and that is to look out for the false prophets. And as the people do not realize that they can be no false where there is no truth, can you not see their inconsistency? And what terrible self-deception for a people to think themselves right when they are all wrong. Testimony for the Church, Volume 3, page 253. I say terrible, and I mean terrible, because if they keep on imagining that they are rich and increased with the goods and need of the nothing, while they are destitute of the everything, they will certainly be screwed out. If they do awake unto their poverty, it will be the greatest miracle since the beginning of the world, I say it will be the greatest, because they feel no need of the Yahweh's help through inspiration, expect none, are prejudiced, are suspicious, and fearful of everyone that disagrees with their preconceived idea. They are therefore even harder to reach with the saving truth for today than were the Jews of yesterday. Will the church forever remain in her self-deception, or will she awake unto her great need? We shall have these questions answered if we turn to the Revelation. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of to Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua, Messiah. For the testimony of Yahshua, Messiah, is the spirit of the prophet. It's found in the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 12, 16, 17, and Revelation 19, 10. Here is the Bible's own answer, which says that there is to be a people who will have the testimony of Yahshua at the time that the earth swallows up the flood, the hypocrites. And since this incident is yet future, it shows that there is to be a prophet in the church, in the Seventh-day Adventist church, for the Bible's own interpretation of the testimony of Yahshua is the spirit of, is found in the spirit of the prophecy, Revelation 19:10. For the first part of chapter 19, you will note explained that the spirit of the prophecy is brought unto them by a man, a fellow servant. Okay, and that those who receive him feel like worshiping him, but he directs them to worship the Father Yahweh and not a man. For the remnant that are left with the saints who were not swallowed by, up by the dragon's flood, as the earth opened her mouth, you will note have the testimony of Yahshua, Messiah, as the living spirit of the prophecy is active in their midst. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church, therefore, will not sleep forever, for the true people of Yahweh will awake unto their poverty. They will profit at this rousing call, but the dragon, a flood, will fill the bowels of the earth. Let now no one deceive himself by the thinking that the Bible itself is as the active spirit of the prophecy. Let us be the Yahweh's real people, logical thinkers, not bait hunters. For the Bible, you know, without the human channel, is as inactive as though it were but ink and paper. Without the human channel. And moreover, the spirit too, apart from man, is also inactive. He too works through the human agent. Hence, without an inspired interpreter, the concealed prophecies and the spirit that unfolds them are inactive. Moreover, how could it be said of one particular group having the spirit of the prophecy when all the sects in Christendom have the Bible? For the remnant who have the spirit of the prophecy among them are directed to keep the commandments of Yahweh, while the rest of the world, through the influence of the dragon, persecute them. In this light, you again see that a remnant will escape from the present self-deception that has befuddled the whole Christian world. Finally, what could be the dragon's blood that proceeds out of his mouth, if not the dragon-prompted interpreters of the scriptures through whom the experts he expects to cause the church to be carried away? Truly, the self-appointed prophets in the Israel of today are more in the number than were the prophecies in the Elijah's day. There is a fact which only the deaf and a blind person would try to deny. No, I am not taking pleasure in the unveiling of this truth. I do it only because I must, for Yahweh wants His people to have the truth, and so I have no alternative but to tell it. For this flood against which the ever-living church is struggling to make her way is, we are told, to be swallowed by the earth. It is to be done away with, as were the self-appointed prophets and the Moses' day, namely Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of the renown, number 16 too. These and all their followers are sympathizers perished, for the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. Number 1632. Here we have the type and the example, also pointing out that what was done in the Moses' day with the men who tried for the promoting of themselves unto the office of the spirit of the prophecy will be done with the men who aspire unto the same office in our day. They are the people who hardly stand a chance. Thus it is that any who are called to teach what the spirit of the prophecy unfolds unto them should not aspire unto the private uninspired interpretation of the scriptures. If they do, they and all who follow them will have their reward unless they repent. Galatians 3:1-3. Galatians 4:16. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Let me again point out unto you the people who are in the greatest danger of the falling, of the failing to serve the Yahweh as the Spirit directs. This we can again see from the example of the past. I can go back as far as Cain and Abel, for the Cain was the firstborn of Adam, and according to the Bible rule, the firstborn was to be the leader, the priest. From his experience, we know that he, as a leader, as a minister in the family, was the first one in the history for the worshiping according unto his own private interpretation of the religion. And for the Abel's failure to follow the Cain's way of the worship, Abel was put to death at the Cain's own hand. Next, I would take you unto Abraham's son. You know that Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham, and Isaac, the second, for the Ishmael as the firstborn, then of the flesh, persecuted Isaac, him who was born after the Spirit. Then coming unto the Isaac's twins, Esau and Jacob, Esau was a mighty man of the day, and the firstborn in the home. His was the birthright for the leading out in the service of the Yahweh, but he too was more interested in the hunting than in the work of the Spirit. So little value he placed on the Spirit's work that he sold his birthright for a mess of the pottage. And in spite of this, he still expected the promised blessing from his father. But Providence intervened when he discovered his loss. He, of course, as king of old, sought to kill his brother. In the Moses time, we find the same spirit working through the firstborn for all those who were 20 years or over when they left Egypt. Perished in the wilderness, with the exception of the Caleb and Joshua. From these examples in the days of all types, we see that those who are first and those who are mighty, whose birthright and the church grants them the privilege to lead the people, are in the greatest danger of erring or losing their souls. But with such a clear picture before them through these Bible examples, we hope that they will turn against the old dragon and come out from his clutches. If they do come out, for they will indeed be regarded as a valiant man of the Yahweh, as were the three Hebrews after coming out of the fiery furnace, and as the Daniel after coming out of a lion's den. Cease you from man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2:22. For the inspired truth, brother and sister, is the only thing that counts. And only when you yourself investigate and personally decide to take your stand for it, as though the whole world rejects it and takes issue with you, let us therefore no longer drift with the tide as a pebble with the waves of the sea. We must be men and women of the stamina and stability if we are to follow the Yahweh and His truth. We have now clearly seen that those who took such a stand as the truth here presents were the Yahweh's heroes of the past, and such must be his heroes of today, even though they be persecuted, laughed at, and cast out, as were those who have gone before them. Victory over every failure can be gained by the divine vision, divine interpretation, divine faith. These three, you see, are inseparable, and only these three lead unto Yeshua and eternal life. This is indeed the righteousness of Yeshua, not tarnished with the tinsel of men. You will have to face the opposition, but so will the Yeshua himself, so did the Yeshua himself. Are you greater than he? There is, however, one thing that the enemies of the truth cannot do, and that is they cannot win an argument against the truth, let alone get anything as good. Their only aim is to take away your pearl of the great price, and your aim, therefore, should be to keep it, though you may have to lose everything else if you intend to avoid the people that hardly stand a chance, and to win in the race with the just, a divine vision, a spiritual interpreter, an unfailing faith is what we all need to have, lest we all perish. This end of our time degree is number 24. And at the end of our study, for this hour, we're going to close now with a song.